Well, good morning. Good to see each and every one of you here today at Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And I remember when I was a kid and I was given a Bible. I don't know if you were given a Bible as a kid, but one of the things that was neat about the Bible, especially when you got to the New Testament part of it, is that the words that Jesus spoke were written in red. How many of you ever had a Bible like that or even still have one today so that you know when Jesus is speaking, it's red? And so this is where we get the idea behind written in red, this series that we're going to go through together in the Gospel of John. We're going to be looking specifically at chapters 4, 5, and 6. And we're going to be looking at conversations that Jesus has with individuals, and how he spoke to them in different situations. And not only that, but how his words, not only were they powerful then, but they're powerful today. And so that's going to be my prayer, and it has been my prayer, that as we go through this time together on Sundays, that we want to be a people who say, God, we want to hear from you. Let your words speak truth to our lives and bring change to us, because it's one thing to know things about Jesus, and it's another thing to allow his words to penetrate our hearts, change our lives, and radically transform us to become more like him. And so that's what we want to do together throughout this series. And so what I want to say as we begin this is that if you've noticed, when we begin series, we give you an overall series theme, we give you an overall series verse, and then through each of our teachings, there is always a main idea that we're trying to get across as we take time together. And so when we look at this today about written in red, here's what we want to say, is that Jesus' words give life. The words of Jesus give life. The words of Jesus give life. Jesus says this in John chapter 6, verse 63. It says, "What gives life is God's Spirit. Human power is of no use at all. The words I have spoken to you bring God's life-giving Spirit." And I chose the Good News Translation because Jesus' words are good news. They're good news for the broken. They're good news for those who are far away from him. But they're also good news for us as we live this life for him on this earth. And so, once again, Let's begin to have a mindset as we come here each Sunday to ask God, say, God, what do you want to teach me? What is it that you want from me as I live for you on this earth? The other thing that I want to share with you before we continue is that as you walked in, there was these 8.5 by 11 conversations with Jesus. And Sandy, you got it? Good. Anybody else get it? All right, good. So here's how it's going to work is that What I want to encourage you to do is in between the Sundays, so that Monday through Sunday, there is a devotional for each day. Now, as we missed last Sunday due to the ice, there's a whole, all of John chapter 4. But today we're going to be looking at the devotional that ties in with John 4, 25 through 29. But that's all right. So what you do is that when you start tomorrow, you just follow the instructions. It'll ask you to pray and read that passage. It'll give you a devotional and some commentary in there about the passage, and then it's going to ask you several questions, and then it's going to challenge you. It's going to say, act, and then you read that, and then you just take time in prayer. So you go through that each day, and then as you get closer to Thursday and Friday and Saturday, there's going to be times that you write out things that God has taught you, and you reflect upon the week that you've had with him. And then every Sunday, you're going to be asked just to pray for the Sunday morning experience. You're going to be praying for those who are teaching, those who are working with our children, those who are leading worship. And then you begin to pray and ask God to open your heart for what he wants to teach you when you come. So does that make sense? So that's what we're going to do. So this is just John chapter 4. Next Sunday, we begin John chapter 5. And so we'll have another Conversations with Jesus devotional. And then when we get to John chapter 6, you'll have that as well. So that's what we want to encourage and challenge you to do in between the Sundays. Now, we said about this idea of written in red, and we said that Jesus has some words that are powerful that were within the conversations that he had with individuals. Now, if you think about words that are spoken to us, we've had things that were told to us that impacted our lives, haven't we? We've had people in our lives who have said some amazing things to us, and we're like, wow, I will never forget that. And words can build us up, words can tear us down, and sometimes there's words that are spoken to us that we just don't get. I remember when my grandparents had their 50th wedding anniversary, all the family was there. And so myself and some of my other cousins who were just recently married, we said, Grandpa, Can you give us some advice about the longevity of your marriage to grandma? 50 years, that's got to be awesome. And here's what he told us. He said, listen, whatever I tell you, you're not going to listen to me anyway. Well, thank you. Okay, that's going to be a lot of success in my marriage going forward. And I remember that. But what we want to do today is there's something that Jesus said when he encountered a woman who was just simply coming to get water. And he said, I am he. That's what he says to her. We're gonna look at this today. And what we want to do is that we're going to look at specific verses in John chapter 4. So we're not going to go there yet, because what I want to do is I want to set us up for what we're going to read today. And so we're not going to read all of John chapter 4, but what I want to do is I want to give you snippets about what's happening here. And so we're going to get to John chapter 4 in just a minute, but I want to start with this. For our main idea for today is that Jesus is right here, right now. Jesus is right here, right now. John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. In a culture today that is instant, you know, if we want to know something, we can go right to Google. If we want to know something, we can go to 24-hour news cycles. And we'll go looking for answers in our lives. And a lot of times we are left empty. We are left not feeling satisfied by the answers that we're looking for. And yet what we're going to see here in this passage, and it applies to both you and I, is that Jesus is right here, right now. He is the one that can bring peace. He is the one that can bring hope and restoration to our lives. And so what we want to do is we want to take the next few moments together and just look at these verses before we get to this conversation that Jesus has with this woman. And I want to begin in verses 1 through 6. I want to talk about the relationship between the Jews and Samaritans. I want to talk about the Jews and Samaritans. So what was happening here is that Jesus and his disciples were taking a trip. And they were going from Judea, the region of Judea, to the region of Galilee. Now, Nathan, if you could put that map up here. Now, what we're going to see is that Jesus and his disciples were in this region of Judea. And so you can see the region of Galilee was all the way up here. Now, it's about 70 miles. Now, what's different here in the culture groups between the Samaritans and the Jews is this, is there was a long history of hatred. There was a very long history of hatred. And it says that Jesus and his disciples went from Judea through Samaria, and he ends up in Sychar. Now, because of the hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans, the long history is this, is that the Assyrian kingdom are about 720 years before Jesus was born, attacked Israel and pretty much defeated it and took the people of Israel and took them into Samaria. And so there was this hundreds and hundreds of years of hatred. For a Jewish religious leader, they would pray that no Samaritan would be raised at the resurrection. This is the hatred that was there for this people group. And if you were a Jew, instead of traveling the 70 miles from Judea to Galilee, you would literally leave, cut through the Jordan, go around Samaria, and come back in. And that's what you would do. That's how much the hatred was for these two people groups. Now, I mean, if you think about it, we can't relate to culture groups hating each other today, can we? Yeah, right. But because of the heart condition, there was so much hatred for what had happened, hundreds and hundreds of centuries of hatred. And so you would literally walk around Samaria rather than go through Samaria. But yet Jesus did, because Jesus had purpose in everything that he did. And so because of that, we see that Jesus ends up at a place called Jacob's Well. Now, Jacob was the Old Testament father of Joseph in the Bible. And Jacob was also the patriarch of the Samaritan people. And this is a picture that was taken back in 2013, where a monastery was built around Jacob's Well. And so this is where we are today, and we're going to take ourselves back to that moment in where Jesus encounters a woman at a well. But here's what we know so far, is that Jesus broke some barriers. He broke a cultural barrier by being a Jew and having an encounter with a Samaritan. But he also broke a rabbinic code. A Jewish rabbi would not speak to a woman in public. In the Bible commentary, it even said that the Jewish rabbi may not even speak to his wife or daughter in public. You just didn't do that. And so there were some barriers that were already being broken that were not the cultural norm because of the hatred that was between these two people groups. So then what happens is that we begin to see that Jesus is now at the well. He tells his disciples to go and get him something to eat. So imagine being a disciple there saying, you know where we are, right? And you want us to go get food from these people? Are you serious? Well, anyway, they go, and Jesus is there. A woman comes to draw water from the well. Now, typically, the women would go together and get water from a well either before sunrise or after sunset, because in the midday or in the heat of the day, it was hot. And so yet, this woman is coming. She's coming alone. She's coming to draw water, and then she's surprised by this man sitting there, and he's physically worn out from his journey. And so, excuse me, for her to go by herself, there had to have been something going on in her heart. There had to have been something going on in her life that would make her say, I need to go by myself. I don't need to go with this group of women before or after the sun comes up or goes down. So obviously something was going on, and we're going to touch on that in just a few minutes. Now, because of that, Jesus asked this woman for a drink of water. Simple. Can I have some water? And so because he asked her for some water, this leads to a conversation about living water. Now, to be a Jew, you would be someone who saw the first five books of the Bible, or the book of law, as living water. Living water meaning that it was flowing, it was moving, versus something like a pond or a lake that was still. So there was something there, living water. That's what they believed that it was. And for her to be a Samaritan, she had some knowledge of this. So it could have piqued her curiosity, but at the same time, don't you think if this was a man speaking to her, she would kind of be like a little on guard? Like, first of all, what are you doing here in the middle of the day? Second of all, why are you speaking to me at all? And so we see that what Jesus was beginning to do in this conversation about water is he was saying that God has something greater for your life. God has eternal life for you. We're talking about water here, but I have water in which you will never thirst again. And so this woman, imagine her, okay, so versus coming every day to the well by myself, give me some of that water so that I don't have to be thirsty anymore, that I don't have to keep coming here every day alone, that I don't have to keep coming and where people may be looking at me, saying things. Why would they be doing that? Because she had chose to live a lifestyle that she kept going back to and back to and back to and back to. There was something in her heart that said, I need fulfillment, and I will find it any way that I can. And yet here she is with this man who is saying, I can give you water that you will thirst no more. See, at this time, this woman had no idea that Jesus was the Messiah, the chosen one by God to live out his purposes in this world. But yet what we see here when we talk about looking for water in your outline is this, is that Jesus satisfies. Jesus satisfies. Jesus says in John 6:35, which we're going to touch on in our series, it's one of his seven I am statements. It says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus satisfies. Jesus is the one who fulfills, because every single one of us is looking for water. We're looking for something to fulfill us. We're looking for that quick fix in our own lives. I remember when our family, we moved into our first home, and it was a modest home. It was a two-bedroom, one bath, and it was what we could afford. But the neat thing was is we lived by a lake. And so when we would tell people we live by Lake Lanier, they would go, ooh. You know, because if you live near Lake Lanier, you had money. We didn't have money. And so when people would come to visit, I would get really weird because I would think, what are they thinking about my home? Like, Why couldn't we have a bigger house? Well, you can't afford it. Well, why couldn't we have the better-looking cars? Because you have what you have. And through that process, I really began to learn that these folks really didn't care about the house. They cared about the relationship. And what I learned through that, it was that, you know, it's like, God, if you could only give me that bigger. God, if you could only let me have these things. And God challenging me back by saying, are you not content with what you have? Do you have a home? Yes. Do you have two cars? Yes. Do you have a job? Yes. What's the issue? And that's what brought that fulfillment to me, to realize that it really wasn't about the house. It was about my heart. And thinking that I had to live up to what everybody else had rather than just enjoying the company. They didn't care. They wanted to know me. And that's what God was teaching me. He was saying, am I going to be enough for you? And I've realized, yes, you have, because throughout from Georgia to Canada to here, he showed me and humbled me to say, I am and I can be enough for you if you only just let me. You don't have to keep looking. I'm here and I am now. And so that's what we see here when this conversation begins to go from the tangible water to this spiritual life of not just eternal for the forever, but the eternal full life that is found in Christ now. And maybe for some of you, that's where you are. Maybe it's, Jesus, if you would just only fix my job. And maybe Jesus is saying to you, maybe be content with where you are and what you have. Jesus, if you could just fix my finances, just trust me to be faithful. Jesus, if you could only just fix this relationship, listen, I just want for you to look in the mirror and let me change your heart and let me work on them. And so that's what he's telling us. Because through that whole story of the house and not being content with it, I didn't want a Jesus, I wanted a genie. I wanted someone who would just fix it and fix it and fix it and never be able to build that relationship with him so that now I can say wherever I am, I'm content with who God is and I'm content with where he has me. And so for you and I, that's what we want to see. Is ask the question, where am I looking for water? Where am I looking for fulfillment and satisfaction where only Jesus can fill that void? And so this conversation continues. And it gets a little awkward because I mentioned to you that this woman had chosen a life that was not bringing fulfillment. And she kept returning to it and returning to it. And so when Jesus gets beyond this idea of water, this living water, he confronts her about the truth of her life. That's what he does. Now, what the woman doesn't respond is she doesn't respond with like, hey, you're right. I need to change my life. She doesn't do that. What she does is she completely changes the subject to this idea of worshiping God. And when she does that, this gives Jesus the opportunity to now say, this is what I want you to know about what God is doing. This is what I want you to know. And he begins to let her know. He said, there's going to be a time that comes, that it doesn't matter if you worship over here or if you worship over here. What matters is that God is going to look for people whose hearts are fully surrendered to him. That's what he's looking for. And guess how he's going to make this happen? He's going to send the Messiah to come and give his life up as a sacrifice for the world. And that through that, salvation will be available to all. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was bringing her to this place. He was confronting her with the things of her life because he was the Christ, he knew this woman inside and out. He knew her. You know, and for some of us today, we when we come in public, we put our best foot forward, don't we? And we put on the best face we can and we behave the best way we can. Some of us maybe. But what I'm saying is that we do that. And yet when we're with those who are closest to us, with those who love us, they know us, don't they? They know our quirks, they know our faults, they know how we behave when we don't get our way, or whatever that may be. And that happened to me recently, is where I appreciate my wife who loves and respects me, but she said, listen, you gotta stop cutting me off when I'm talking. Because I get really excited, my head spins like this, and I'm just ready to give her all the answers, and I'm ready to tell her how to solve that problem. When guys, we know, sometimes they just want to be, there you go, good. But it was awkward. It was an awkward conversation, because for me, I'm passionate about certain things, and she confronted me on that. She didn't confront me and say, hey, knock it off. Well, she did, but we won't get into all that. Well, actually, I got to tell you, here's what she said. I said, listen, Tina, I'm trying. And she's like, try faster, you know? So, but I love you. Okay. But she knows me. I may not get that way a lot in public, but I do that with her, or sometimes I do that with my daughter, and it frustrates her as well. And so what I'm learning here is that, listen, God's going to bring some things to us in our lives, and he's going to confront us not to make us feel awkward or to feel shamed, but his Holy Spirit will convict us. And he convicts us because he says, that's not what I intended for you. I want what's best for you. This may be awkward. This may be uncomfortable. But let's speak the truth here for a moment. Will I have those moments where I cut her off again? I probably have since she confronted me about it. But the point here is that when we talk about awkward conversations, it's this, is that Jesus knows. Jesus knows. He knows us. He knows us inside and out. And imagine you being that one, me being the one who went to that well every day alone, not wanting to be confronted by anyone, maybe feeling shame, maybe feeling regret. And maybe for some of us, that's where we are at times, where we have things we regret that we've done or said or are ashamed of things. And yet what we know about Christ is he says, I know. I know. And yet the beauty of God's grace in our lives is that he doesn't turn away from us. He doesn't leave us on our own. He tells us the truth because of his love for us. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all the world can be hidden from God. Everything is clear and lies open before him, and to him we must explain the way we have lived. See, we could sit here today and we can focus on how this woman behaved, but yet what we need to realize is this, is that there are things that we keep hidden in our lives, and we think we keep it hidden from God, but he knows. He's not going to be fooled. And yet here's the beauty of the truth of God, is that when God shows us those things in our lives, what it does is his truth will bring us to repentance. Because he loves us, and he doesn't want to leave us where we are. That's what he did with this woman. He didn't want to leave her where she was. He knew her. He spoke truth to her. And he wanted her to know that he was there in the here and in the now. So let's take our Bible. If you have your Bible or device, why don't we turn to John chapter 4? Because I want to read these four verses to us. And this is where we want to focus now on the I am he. I want to focus on the I am he. We're going to look at John chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. It says, the woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ. So once again, we know that the one who is Messiah, the one is Christ. It was one who was anointed, chosen by God to live out God's purposes in the world. Okay? And called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And so, once again, here we are. The conversation is coming to a close. The disciples walk up. They don't know what to say, again, because for a rabbi to speak to a woman, it just didn't happen. And so they may have been speechless. They may have been thinking, oh boy, this is going to be a long day. But yet what happens? It says, is that then leaving her water jar. Then leaving her water jar. Because before she left her water jar, she continues the conversation by saying, there is one who is coming who is greater. And all Jesus said was, I am he. I am right here. I am right now. And it says, then leaving her water jar. It was so powerful to read that for me as I was studying this passage, because it was like just a few words, four words that said, then leaving her, five, water jar. five simple words, and I'm going, when Jesus says that I am right here, right now, Are you leaving those things that I've been speaking to you about? Are you leaving the butting in? Are you leaving the attitude? Are you leaving the pride? Are you leaving the anger? Are you leaving the control in your life? Or are you still going to continue to say, Jeff, God, if you would only just fix this. You're not enough for me. I needed Jesus and yet what happens is that Jesus, once she continues to go, he says, I'm the one. I'm the one. And as she left her water jar, she's not running away from Jesus. She's running back to the town to let them know that there was something that was happening that day at the well. She left it. She didn't say, hold on a second, let me fill the water up. Let me take care of a few things. She left her water jar in that moment. And when she asked the question, could this be the Messiah? Well, first of all, he told her everything she knew about herself. I mean, he confronted her, right? He said, here's what I want you to do. I know about you. I know your life. And yet, here's what's happening. She left it. She left that water jar because she knew that the Messiah was speaking to her. And she wasn't asking the question, could this be the Messiah, out of confusion, but she was asking it out of anticipation. There was an excitement there. But she would have never told the town about the Messiah if she hadn't have left her water jar. She had to leave it there. You see, what I love about John chapter 4 is that the woman left because of something Jesus said. And yet, if you continue reading out John chapter 4, Jesus has an encounter with a royal official who's not only a royal official, but he's also a father. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, my son is very sick and I don't know if he's going to make it through the night. And what does Jesus tell him? Jesus says, go, your son will live. And the father left. Two instances of where Jesus said something to two individuals and they left. They left. And so what I see here is I see that there's a faith piece. One was of anticipation. Is this the one who's going to bring salvation? And then the father was one, is he really going to do what he says he's going to do? And yet we see that God did a miraculous work in the life of the son for the father. And through that, it said the whole household believed. Because of Jesus just saying, go, for I am he. The one you've been looking for is right here, right now. And so what I love about the John chapter 4 also is that we see, once again, when you go back to the beginning, it says Jesus and his disciples went through Samaria. You see, Jesus could have walked around our sin. He could have saw us and put up a lot of barriers. He could have kept the barrier of sin between God and man. He could have left it there. He could have went around it. He could have said, I'm holy, you're not, good luck. Whatever you're doing, have fun with it. But he didn't. What he did was he went through our sin. He broke down the barrier between God and man when he went to the cross. And he took away our sin. He took away our shame. He took away... He took away a life that when we say no to him is eternal separation from him, to where he went through it, and that through Christ you and I can have eternal celebration of God, both now and forever. And that's what we see here. And what we see is when Jesus said, I am he, we see that Jesus is present. Jesus is present. Here's what Jesus tells us in Mark 11:28. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Now listen, John chapter 4 does not speak of the woman going back to get her water jar. It doesn't. But imagine for a moment, if you will, that she did go back to get that water jar eventually, because Jesus spent time with the town for a couple of days. But imagine, there had to have been, I mean, if it was me, going to that well would have been different now. Going to that well and remembering when I was giving this man water, then all of a sudden he's saying, I'm the one you've been looking for. I'm the one who brings satisfaction. I'm the one who brings fulfillment, and I can be enough for you. It completely changes the whole dynamic of that well. And for me, it wouldn't matter. I wouldn't have to worry about going alone anymore. I wouldn't have to worry about what others would say, because I know that I was face to face with the one who said, I am he. And there's the power of the gospel, because he is saying to you and I today, I am right here and I am right now. And so for you and I, that's where you and I can begin to ask the question, is Jesus enough for me? Do I just want someone who can fill my every wish? Or do I want someone who can bring fulfillment and contentment to my life? And so what I want to do for the next few moments together is talk about right here and right now. Let's talk together about right here, right now. Because really, the question for us today is what to do with the words that Jesus spoke. Do we want them just to be, wow, that was really nice, heard a great story? Or do we want to choose and say, listen, if you're right here, right now, God, then I just need to know what are the next steps that I need to take. And so let's look at this together. First is this, is that we want to recognize and confess it. We want to recognize and confess it. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, it says, but if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. And it is perfectly proper for God to do this for us because Christ died to wash away our sins. You may have to have that awkward conversation, or you may just need to listen to what he has to tell you, because he loves you and he wants what's best for your life. And so for you and I in the right here and the right now, maybe we need to just begin to see our lives as God sees it. Maybe we need to begin to see our lives as God sees it. And when we begin to do that, there may be things that he draws out of us. And he says, I want you to just leave it. And if we come to that place where we say, you know what, I do want to begin to leave this or those things, then what we do is we come humbly before God and we say, here it is. I'm helpless. I can't do this. Because, I mean, imagine that water jar if you're just holding it and just having that burden or just carrying it around all the time. And Jesus is saying, just leave it. I'll take it. You come to me, just leave it. Just leave it. You don't have to do this anymore because I'm here for you. And so let's be people who in the right here, right now, come humbly before him and choose to be people who say, I'm going to leave it. But first we have to recognize it. We have to confess it. But we know that there's a God who will forgive us. He not only will forgive us, but his grace will hold us together as we move away from the jar. So we want to recognize and confess it. The second is this, is that we want to share it. We want to share it. Here's how John chapter 4 ends. What a beautiful way to end this story. It says in verse 42, it says, this is the town speaking. It says, they said to the woman, first we believed in Jesus because of what you said. But now we believe because we heard him ourselves. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world. You see, God wants to use those of us who are his followers because it's his Spirit that lives in us and it is God who will use us. We just have to say yes to that. And no matter what arena that you may be in your business setting, in your school setting, at home, in relationships, in different things that you're involved with, but he will use you. If you say in your heart of hearts, I'll share it. It's already been spoken about. We have an opportunity today to give the Upper Moreland community a picture of the kingdom of God. So I don't know what that looks like for you. And so it's just saying, all right, I'm just going to be here and just say, hey, I'm with Hope Community Church. That may be as simple as that, that we can continue to have that reputable name within the Upper Moreland community. But you see, the power here is that they said, not because of what you just said, because we hurt him ourselves. That's what God wants to do. He's using his son. He's using you and I to be people who draw people to himself. What a great opportunity. What a privilege that you and I have to do that. So in the right now, right here and right now, let's be people who begin to let others know of the freedom that we have in Christ. Because there's stories all throughout this room that God wants to use for his glory. No matter how insignificant you may feel it is, but God wants to use it for his glory. I want to encourage us to look beyond our own barriers. We may have barriers in our lives. It may not be a cultural thing, but we may have barriers about just feeling weird about even bringing up Jesus in our lives. Whatever that barrier may be, begin to ask God to give you the help to tear that barrier down in order for you to share the freedom that you have in Christ. I want to close this morning by reading an Old Testament passage which is found in Jeremiah 29. And many of us are familiar with Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord." And so that was a passage that we read, and it was from a people who were 70 years away from their own homeland. There was death and destruction. And yet the prophet Jeremiah says, greater things are yet to come. You just hold on. You hold on to your Heavenly Father, the God of Israel. But yet, verse 13 and 14 ring out to me, and it says, "You will seek me when you find me, and find me when you seek me with all your heart." He says, come after me with reckless abandon. Whatever that may look like in your life, come after me. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. He says, if you're looking for things to satisfy you that are earthly, you'll always end up short. But if you come after me, you will be fulfilled. And not only that, verse 14 ends, and it says, and will bring you back from captivity. So for the people in that day and time, being in captivity and being released from that, wow, how exciting would that be? But for you and I, we may be living in captivity where we don't need to. Through the power of Jesus Christ, we can be restored. We can have wholeness. We can be made complete through the power of Christ. And so that's what we see here. And so really, for you and I, what do you need to leave today? If this is your Jacob's Well moment, what do you need to leave today? Do you need to leave here today by saying, you are enough? Do you need to leave here today saying, I have been filling my life with this, and today I see that you're the one that can bring wholeness to me? What do you need to leave? Because for you and I, Jesus is right here and right now. And his words give us life. And it's found in him. See, you and I, we don't have to keep looking around everywhere else. But here's what we can do. We can come out of our hiding. We can be honest with him because he is here and he is now. Jesus, we're so grateful for your truth of your word. God, we're not only grateful for the truth of your word, but we are grateful that there is power in your name. Jesus, we have from little to big in our hearts, in our lives, that we're just going after and going after and going after. And it always leaves us empty. It leaves us in places of regret. It leaves us in places where we just feel all alone. And yet you tell us today that we just come to you with our burden. We come to you with those things that are not bringing satisfaction. Jesus, may we today leave here and confidently saying that in your name, you are enough. Father, as we even take a few moments to go down and have breakfast with a community that some may be far away from you, may we not go around those barriers, but through the power of your name, that we just have the confidence to speak truth. Speak truth to us in our lives, Lord, in between the Sundays. My desire is to be more like you. So I can only speak for myself. But today, if there are those here that want to leave things, may they leave them. May they leave them, because there is victory. There is victory because of the cross and the empty tomb. This is yours now, Lord. Speak to us. In Jesus' name.